The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And away we go with another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you for another week. Hope you've had a fantastic last few days as we get into, dare I say it, almost Labor Day weekend, which means the 1st of September. Kind of staggering to think about that, but traditionally that's the end of summer. It seems like it just started. But one thing... My father was not the greatest in giving me important advice that really turned out to be 100% accurate. But one thing he said that was uncannily on target was that just wait about the passage of time. He says the longer you've been around, the faster it goes. Man, he nailed that one, because that is exactly right. But with all that being said, we are so glad to have you on board today, and hopefully can give you a few facts and thoughts to take with you after you listen to the broadcast of everything you need to know. Let's start with, again, a little bit of shameless promotion. Delighted to be on Tony Curry Radio. It's great to be part of something that is rapidly building into a world domination in the communications field, and Tony and his compatriots are doing a great job of putting together a really unique and just kind of a special place, corner of the world for some a variety of different shows, and of course the absolute epicenter for classic rock, which Tony will always be identified with from his great career in the Birmingham market. So we are really excited to kind of be forging some new ground starting this week, because football season is upon us. And as much as I like talking about news and politics and things that you need to know in terms of everything that's going on in the world, SEC football kicking off, college football. There's just a couple of games coming up on the weekend, but we start in earnest on the aforementioned Labor Day weekend, September the 3rd, with a whole slate of games, including Alabama Crimson Tide debuting their 2022 season, defending national champion Georgia. Auburn, of course, back in action after their very tumultuous offseason. All of those storylines, all of that information is something that we love talking about. So we're going to have to add a second program on Tony Curry Radio. And this one is breaking new ground. And how excited I am, I can't even tell you, to be in that kind of new genre, because this is going to be the first actual webcast on the Tony Curry Radio lineup. And we're going to have... basically our weekly show that I'm so thrilled to be doing with my son, Case Kiefer, who is the sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun and has become one of the most recognized and successful football prognosticators in the entire country. So we're going to have Wanna Bet right here on Tony Curry Radio starting on this coming weekend. And it's going to be great. The show will also air locally on Channel 21 in a little different form, but you can watch all of that information. And Case and I are going to look at all of the action week to week, of course, and give you our thoughts on, if you're a football investor, how you might be able to make some money there. But the thing I'm excited about is, we're going to sit down to start each show and talk about all the various ways to look at football from an analytical standpoint, look at all the factors, take into consideration the matchups and all the intangibles that go into it. And if you're interested in that aspect of the game, which I find myself, constantly thinking about these new trends, we used to just watch football and, it was kind of the eye test and we would assess both teams. But now it's kind of exciting that all this new world data and all of the technology that goes into not only assessing players for teams and basic statistics are drawn into every minor kind of, minor is the wrong word, every category of performance. And now people that, enjoy the aspect of wagering on football use all of those numbers too. And Case has become just so expert in it. And I think you'll be fascinated to hear the weekly conversations because I can tell you, I've been a football fanatic for so many years, and I've learned a lot from Case's kind of new ear information. So if you're kind of an old school guy like me, or if you're on the cutting edge of all this new technology, what I interject and what he has to bring to the table makes for some fascinating discussion. And I think you're really going to enjoy the show, not to mention the expert picks. Case is going to give you his NFL and college football rundown every week, and I'm going to focus strictly on the SEC. Had a phenomenal year last year, picking games against the spread, finished 36-17 for the SEC, and that's where my emphasis is. So it's going to be a great show. We are so excited to be the first webcast each week on Tony Curry Radio, and look for that on your schedule here as we get closer to football seasons. So there's the shameless promotion, and thank you for letting me do that. But we are excited, and I had a little mishap there. There we go. We're excited to have football right on the verge of kicking off. Let's pivot a little bit here and talk about some of the things that have happened in the news. I hope you listened to the show last week. I thought, we hit some ground that, maybe is the most important items you need, because I tried to frame last week a lot of what we're witnessing, and I really want all of you to, be fully cognizant of that subject matter. So if you missed it, I kind of wanted to get back into it again a little bit and just reset it, if nothing else. I talked about last week that, what we see all the time played out and this great divisiveness that our country allegedly is undergoing is kind of a manufactured for extremely nefarious purposes situation, because if you look at the history of any kind of, country or empire that tried to have kind of a representative sort of government where the citizens have a solid voice, it always has been crumbled and destroyed by what's called factionalism, which basically is segments of a society or citizens of a country or empire that, have different interests and, finally kind of get to be so abrasive with one another that representative government doesn't work and gives way to kind of a central government that controls everything. And the problem is, in these kind of situations where this narrative is developed of inequality and inequity, all that, unfortunately, because of a lot of government policy, has proven true. But instead of lifting up the people that really need the emphasis and the help and the access to getting into better life situations, it's politically more expedient and beneficial for one of the major parties to keep that particular segment, the lower economic people of Americans, or people that are in tough circumstances, it really doesn't benefit them to make those people more successful from a political standpoint. On the other hand, it's an easier target. People that are in better position, for whatever reason, it's a generational process, but it's easier to kind of drag that group down and get everybody on the same level in a lesser situation than to raise everybody up, because that justifies more massive central government. And at the end of the day, that's what the divide we have. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It's not conservative versus liberal. It's not man versus woman, gay versus straight. I could go on for weeks. New citizens against old traditional citizens. It's the establishment. It's the Washington growth enterprise, which is the most lucrative, successful in the world, against the regular citizens, because they know better. They're elite. Most of them are Ivy League educated, were born with a, ultimate silver spoon. I'm just rehashing everything last week in case you missed it before I get into some, more emphasizing points. But that's the mindset that Americans need to understand of what's happening. And if you don't believe it, take a ride around the Washington, D.C., the outlying areas of Maryland and Northern Virginia. You see unbelievable welth and prosperity, gated communities every few miles, these massive, just shining, beautiful, high-rise condominiums, apartments, housing, unbelievable boom in business. This part of the country is absolutely on a roll, and about 90% of the people that are enjoying those circumstances are involved in government. And this is not just, again, about politicians. This is about people that are lifers running every bureau, agency, department, over 2 million people in government in bureaucratic jobs that have basically through powerful unions, lifetime appointments. You can't get them out of there. One of the reasons Donald Trump had to go, first of all, he was the biggest irritant to come into that organism of Washington in a number of years. But what he was targeting at the end of his first term was a brand new classification for most government employees, which was referred to as Schedule F, which would have made a lot of those jobs obsolete, would have given the government a chance to dramatically reduce and also change the status of people that are bulletproof right now. No matter what they do, they really can't be replaced or let go. Schedule F would have reclassified, I think it was almost 80% of government workers, where they would be on more of a merit-based situation like private industry. And of course, they couldn't let that stand, because that's the power really behind the scenes. The politicians come and go. These people are mainstays. They're there for the duration. And that's just how it is. And they make a lot of the decisions and many of the policies that we all live under. And they are not elected by you and me. They are appointed or, get opportunities from whatever different trail that they take to get there. But once entrenched, they are the real power behind a lot of what happens in the country. So with all that being said, I wanted to touch on, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I've made a couple of kind of derisive comments about Liz Cheney. I don't know if you saw last week, but something I predicted early in the summer came to pass. In Wyoming, she was up for, of course, as every member of Congress is in the House of Representatives, they're only 2-year terms. So she was up for the third term. She'd been elected twice previously. Actually, she had been a 3-time Congresswoman. It was her fourth term she was seeking. But of course, as everybody who's followed the news at all knows, she has been the major crusader on the January 6th committee to try to find any kind of avenue to disqualify Donald Trump from any idea of running again for president in 2024. The January 6th committee is trying to pin what happened on January 6th, 2021, when a mob basically stupidly, and, you know, it reminds me of Animal House. It's time for somebody to do something truly stupid and futile gesture on somebody's part. And those people in Washington that day were just the people to do it. Now, their outrage over what they perceive to be election fraud, I don't think is totally unfounded. That's a whole nother subject. But what they did was really stupid. And it really seems that there was a good degree of enticement that day for them to take those steps, because it really kind of served politically the narrative that, you know, was being created, that all of this, you know, uproar about election fraud was just a big hoax and it was unproven. There are, you know, we could do 15 shows on that subject, but the bottom line is they're trying to tie Donald Trump directly into organizing and encouraging that group to enter the Capitol building. They're calling it an insurrection. You would think if that was a legitimate, if the objective was to try to overthrow the government, I think they would have been doing more than taking selfies with their cell phones and running around, you know, screaming and acting like a bunch of morons. Maybe there was a couple of people in that crowd that were armed, but the protesters, the invaders, the insurrectionists were not responsible for anybody's death. There was only one, well, actually there were two deaths directly from that incident. And one of them was a Capitol Police officer shooting a former Air Force retiree, a female 35-year-old who was unarmed. In the back, there's really no explanation to this day why that action was necessary. The other was a elderly Capitol guard, or I guess a police person or a guard, I'm not sure. But in the excitement, tragically, apparently he suffered a cardiac arrest and passed away. So if there was any deaths attributed to an insurrectionist or objective to try to take over our government, that was the only casualty, and it's regrettable if his loss of life was attributed directly to what happened. But moving on, Liz Cheney on Tuesday night of last week was trounced, as we predicted, in Wyoming by the voters in the primary. A Trump-backed candidate defeated her by almost 40 points, which may be one of the worst defeats for an incumbent congressperson in the history of our country. She was absolutely run out of town and did her concession speech within just moments of her defeat, of the polls closing, because the numbers were so overwhelming. And in that speech, she declared that, you know, she didn't say this directly, but she compared herself to Abraham Lincoln because she believes the country has never been in more jeopardy of having our democracy removed from the equation, and that she was just felt she had to do her part, because if she did not step up, even though she was a Republican and went against the wishes of most of the people that she represented, and we've talked about that before on the program here too, is that this is a representative republic. It's not technically a democracy. We have democratic principles, of course, but in a representative republic, you get elected to go to Washington to represent the interests of people that have sent you there, the people in your district or your state, your constituency. And way too many of these politicians go, and they don't represent their constituents. They fall into the cliques and the waves of party or ideology and kind of go their own way. And that is not the idea behind the form of government we have. So the people of Wyoming spoke loudly and just kicked her right out of office. And basically she said, you know, she took the moral high ground. She had to do this. Trump is a danger to America, and he has transformed and radicalized the Republican Party, blah, blah, blah. She was painting herself as this great, you know, person of tremendous integrity. And, you know, it's unfortunate because it's so much easier to explain her actions simply by saying that there is a large group of Republicans, and I know this firsthand, from, you know, my broadcast partner you've heard on our program before, attending a George W. Bush reunion and coming back and talking to me sincerely about how shocked she was that virtually everybody there in what had become kind of the offshoot of Reagan Republicans in the 1980s, dominated by the Bush family and the Cheneys, Dick Cheney every step of the way with Bush Sr. and with George W. Bush, they had kind of formulated the modern day Republican Party, and John McCain and Lindsey Graham and others. And they seemingly stood for, you know, statesmanship and, you know, bipartisan discussion on issues. But all of that's fine and good if that's the traditional Republicans. And you see a lot of commentators, the Bill Kristols and the George Wills, they all espouse those principles as well. But all of that's fine. But don't tell me that we're trying to preserve a democracy because there's an uprising in people that really believe, again, not in Washington and the genteel kind of cooperative government that happens, because the other party is not inclined to play ball on that level of compromise and statesmanship and all those things that are lovely terms, but in real life, one party is willing to get down in the mud and resort to anything they need to do to win and have control. And we told you about that last week. It's not just power and control. That's the component that leads to what the real goal is. And power and control yields incomprehensible wealth. And incomprehensible wealth buys power and control. They are self-fulfilling prophecies. And that is the goal of Washington, the establishment, whether you're Republican or Democrat. If you're in that club, you are inclined to be involved in whatever it takes to preserve that. And that's what we're witnessing right now. And that's what Americans need to understand. There's a great quote, and I wish I could think, I think it was a writer who penned this, but he said, Americans need to realize in Washington, there are numerous Republicans posing as Democrats. Who are not posing, who are really Democrats. And there are zero Democrats who are really Republicans. That's something to think about. The big government, the big establishment is a Democrat institution, but even the Republicans on board, it's kind of like, remember the Harlem Globetrotters? They always played a team called the Washington Nationals. And the Globetrotters, of course, did all kinds of spectacular stunts and did all these things, but you had to have another team to kind of make the whole show go. And that's kind of what the modern day traditional statesman-like Republican Party has been. They have been the necessary quote opponent to the Democrat Party, which has basically been the Harlem Globetrotters putting on a show. And if you think of it in those terms, you kind of understand, because they're benefiting the Washington Nationals. Are not a separate entity. They're part of that whole presentation. So think about that in terms of what we're witnessing right now. So it really comes down to us as Americans having to decide that, you know, do we want this situation? Because they say, okay, our democracy's threatened. Liz Cheney thinks she's Abraham Lincoln keeping it together. But in the meantime, with all of that, you know, I'm looking for the right term, all of that noble idealism, it really comes down to the fact that the democracy is being much more threatened by the infusion of a very far left socialist, communist, even Marxist kind of ideology that, again, big government is the answer and individual liberty is a problem, because you and me and people that are enjoying what's the greatest attribute we have as Americans, our individual liberty and freedom, are not necessarily cooperative and threaten the power, control, and incomprehensible wealth of a giant central government. And I say it probably on every show so far, I've said it on every show so far, the words of Ronald Reagan are ringing louder than ever, that America is a country with a government. It can never be allowed to be the other way around. So some food for thought, but Liz Cheney's collapse, I think, coupled with George P. Bush, who is a grandson of President Bush, running for and losing the attorney general's race in Texas, may be the last straw of what was the traditional Republican Party. And they don't like the fact that Donald Trump has led this kind of resurgence of the party's ideology to this America first, freedom first agenda. It defeats the whole vision they have of themselves. And that vision, unfortunately, is what I just described. They're the Washington Nationals to the Harlem Globetrotters. And a lot of Americans want to see that change. We're right down to the end here. I did want to mention that I had another thought, and I hope you agree with this. We talked about last week the Inflation Reduction Act, which is absolutely laughable because it's not going to reduce inflation one bit. Now our leader, who's been on vacation for like 3 weeks, has released a statement about how, you know, he is bringing gas prices down. It's kind of like a guy who lights a building on fire and then runs and gets a garden hose. He's the guy who started the fire. He's the reason inflation's gone through the roof. He's the reason that gas prices have skyrocketed to all-time levels. And now with spraying a garden hose on the damage, he's bringing the prices down. He had nothing to do with making it happen. We all know is exactly why it did. So he's going to go on now a national tour to tout the wonderful plan that they have passed, this groundbreaking legislation, which 26% of Americans polled over the last week have said they believe, and these are Americans from all walks of life, they believe it's going to do nothing in terms of changing their lives for the better. And most of them think it's going to be negative. And I put me in that category. 87,000 new IRS agents, $80 billion infused into that organization that basically is going to terrorize Americans and try to shake every dime, and in some cases have the unlimited power to take everything you have, and you have no recourse. If you don't believe that we're trying to go in a socialist direction, that is your leading indicator, that and kicking in the door of former presidents to go look for political dirt to keep him out of the race, because that's the guy they fear, and that's the guy that needs to be out of the picture for their exciting plans to continue. Wouldn't it be better if we had 87,000 or $80 billion and maybe 87,000 new school resource officers to protect our kids from the absolute nightmares that we've witnessed? Wouldn't it be better to have $80 million and 87,000 new Border Patrol agents to keep our territorial sovereignty in place? Wouldn't it be better to put $80 billion into community and education centers in lower income neighborhoods to try to create access to the American dream for people that are trapped and can't get there? Just some things to think about as we leave you this week. I'm Kip Kiefer. It's always such a pleasure to join you. I can't wait for the debut of Wanna Bet this week on Tony Curry Radio and our next edition and next get-together on Need to Know. Sorry, got a little bit of congestion right there at the end. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.